Welcome to the University of Limerick Research Impact podcast series. I'm your host, Christine Brennan. The ethos of the Research Impact programme here at UL is to share the stories of our excellent research, but also to highlight our talented students and academics. And it is in this vein that we are launching the Research Impact guest host slot. It gives me great pleasure to introduce our first guest host, Masters in Psychology student Ileana Keohane.
What does it mean to have an identity? We could describe ourselves using labels like Irish, Catholic, unemployed, but what impact do these labels have on our lives? Research has shown that there are both benefits and burdens to having a shared sense of identity. My name is Ileana Keohane, and today my guest is Professor Orla Muldoon, founding chair of the Department of Psychology and a member of the Centre for Social Issues Research at UL. Hello, Orla.
Hello, Ileana.
So I guess my first question is, what do we mean by identity or collective identity?
When psychologists use the phrase social identity or collective identity, they're referring to the aspect of themselves or other people, so the aspect of self, that is linked to being a member of a wider group. So my social identity could be that I am sharing a sense of belonging with other people in a book club or a running club or other psychology students or maybe other students at University of Limerick, or it could be other much bigger, wider groups like an ethnic group or a national group or a gender group. So sometimes we talk about proximal identities and distal identities. And those ones that are far away, like Irishness or Europeanness, we don't tend to think about them very much. They tend to be very hidden, almost assumed. I don't get up in the morning and say, oh, today I feel a bit Irish. Unless maybe it's St. Patrick's Day. But it would only be in a very special case with those distal or faraway identities that I might think about. I must remember to eat Irish food today.
Right. And you talk about the benefits and the burdens of collective identity in your research. So I suppose, what are these impacts, these benefits and these burdens on our lives?
A couple of years ago, we had a summer school in University of Limerick. The European Association of Social Psychology had a summer school. And one of the groups of students did a study, which is, I think, really exemplifies the benefits and the burdens of groups really well. And they looked at all the students that came on the summer school. There were 70 of them. And they showed that the students that felt very part of the summer school group, that were really engaged, that were, you know, connected to others, that they had, a good sense of well-being at the summer school, really connected to other people, felt like they belonged, were very happy. So that's a real benefit. The burden was that particular group overconsumed alcohol compared to the more peripheral members.
Right, yeah.
That might suggest that maybe the group was built on excess consumption of alcohol. That's how they knew so many more people. But it also tells you that having more friends, having more connections actually makes you feel better. But then the burden can be poor health habits. Mm. I'm in a book club a little bit.
I suppose one of the other burdens could be having a stigmatized identity.
Absolutely.
And in terms of stigmatized identities, some of your research has touched on how they can be self-fulfilling prophecies if there isn't sort of collective community solidarity.
Mm.
Can you discuss that a little bit?
Yeah, so we've done work... with the assistance of the Limerick Regeneration Agency as it was then, and what we tried to look at was the strengths in communities in Limerick, particularly communities that would be considered designated disadvantaged communities. And what we showed there was that there was people, if they felt strongly embedded in the communities, they tended to be very good advocates and very good at they were often activists. They were even people who, you know, worked on behalf of their community to effect change, or maybe to get services improved, or they'd been involved in cleanups and all sorts of positive pro-social things. So that's a real benefit. But the burden also and the cost sometimes that people in such communities feel is that they're stigmatised by other people in wider Limerick society or indeed in wider Irish society. But as well as that, sometimes they can stigmatise themselves. So they consume this negative stereotype of the community and begin to think that maybe in somehow that they are less deserving of services than other people. So that creates a real disjuncture and a real discomfort for people. Absolutely, stigmatised identities are problematic not only because of how I see others, but also how I come to see myself if I'm stigmatised.
And then in terms of the Limerick Regeneration, how would you combat that? What sort of policy changes could be made?
One of the most important ways that we know that we can reduce stigma is to allow people to interact in equitable ways. So one of the reasons that we believe that certain areas of Limerick have become so stigmatised, or indeed certain areas of Dublin have become so stigmatised, is because those areas tend to be isolated and segregated from other areas. So we often find, for instance, highly stigmatised communities are on the periphery. People don't walk through these areas. There's limited interaction between community members and those outside the community. So an important way actually is for interaction to increase. Mm-hmm. So there is a role for planning and improved planning, which of course is what the Limerick Regeneration Agency was about. And there is also a role for supporting those people in communities who are actually who become activists, because that they're really important as communities empower themselves often.
Okay. So you've touched on several different research projects. Why is research in this area important, and what impact can it have?
I think research in this area is important because we often, when we want to explain, for example, why people from socially deprived communities have poor health or are maybe engaged in more antisocial behaviour. Young men from poor areas might be engaged in more antisocial behaviour. We often, in Western societies at least, go straight to an individual explanation. There's something wrong with that young fella. There is the reason that people are unwell is because they smoke too much, they drink too much. So we look for explanations. That's almost blame it on the people who have the problem. We have notions of deservingness, that people, you know, get what they deserve in life. And we don't necessarily look to the collective things that are causing the problems. And to say that the problem is somehow genetically linked or inherent in the individual, it's kind of a no-hope story, isn't it? It's a story of, well, I can do nothing for you at all. So in the work that we've done, people who've been brain injured, families who are supporting somebody with a brain injury often say to us, our story of collective identity is a story of hope. Because it says that if you change the context and if you change what people do and how people see themselves, that can really facilitate rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. In the same way, if you look at people who attend socially deprived schools and you begin to show children in those schools how other children that have attended those schools have done well and the kinds of things that they have gone on to do, mm-hmm. whether it's success as a footballer, a success as a mother, or success in further education, actually those kinds of things can really give hope, because it's about the context that shifted to support that young person mm-hmm. going forward, or the context that shifted in a family that facilitated the rehabilitation of somebody with a brain injury.
Fantastic. So I just have one final question. So what are the future areas of exploration in this research field? I suppose it's quite broad. It could be applied to various different identities and collective identities.
Yeah. I think probably the single biggest thing that's happening at the moment is move in the research community to look at how groups can be used to promote health or promote community engagement or promote pro-social behaviour. So in particular, instead of, so not looking at the big, you know, distal groups, but thinking about, for instance, in our case, we're planning to do a study where we look at people who have been bereaved by suicide, how if you bring that bereaved group together and bring people who've been bereaved together, how you can mitigate some of the negative consequences of being bereaved by suicide by allowing people to connect with other people in very difficult circumstances, so that actually people gain from the connections to others, so they start feeling like they belong to a group and to a supportive group in a context where actually they can feel outside of that group, they can feel very, very socially isolated, and you know, it can feel like a very hopeless place sometimes for people. So I'd say the biggest single thing is looking at how we can use groups as a social prescription.
You have been listening to Professor Orla Muldoon from the University of Limerick. Professor Muldoon's research is supported by the Irish Research Council, the Economic and Social Research Council, and the European Commission. If you would like to read the full case study on Professor Muldoon's research, go to our website, ul.ie/researchimpact.